please sit down. I want to share a few thoughts with you before we even share communion. And I love the way how God honors His Word and how He confirms His Word. This morning, as I was just seeking the Lord for today, He told me to tell His people what the word hallelujah means. I had no idea that we're going to sing this song. And I don't know how many of you actually know, kids, listen up. The word hallelujah is a Hebrew word. It's what the Israelites speak. That's what they speak in Israel. But it actually means to sing. Let me read you what it actually means. To praise joyously. To praise joyously. That's the one part. That's the hallelujah part. The Yah part is the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh. It's the silent name, Yahweh. It's to praise our God joyously. So even in the world, when they say hallelujah without knowing it, what they're telling you is praise the Lord our God joyously. Amen. And that is the most holy name of God, Yah. That is what hallelujah means. And what does amen mean? Have you ever thought about amen? Do you know what amen means? It means that we agree. Let it be so. Yeah. So if I say hallelujah, amen, I say everybody joyously praise our God and let it be so.
Yeah.
That's why when people pray, when people preach, when we say amen, we agree, we say let it be so. Because the Bible says when two or three are gathered together in agreement, I am there. When we agree, it is powerful. The Bible says one sets 1,000 to flee, two 10,000. When we begin to agree in the heavens, we begin to displace the enemy. We displace the enemy and God begins to come down and fight the battles for us. And as we were spending this time, Kerry, you said, what does God show you? God showed me a few things, and I didn't get up to share them because I've learned to ask the Lord, when do you want me to share it? And He showed me the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens. It's plural. Shemayim. Read it in the Hebrew. It's plural. He created the heavens and the earth. Where we stand today is one form of heaven, but then there are other heavens above us. The atmosphere is a heaven. But then God is the supreme God. He is in the highest heaven. And what God showed me is that so many times we look at our problems, like David says in Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? He looks to the mountains. They used to sacrifice to their gods on the mountains, the false gods. They had all these towers and strongholds built on mountains. And he said, where does my help come from? Now, where you and I are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to look up at our problems. If we do, we're in the flesh. We need to recognize that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We look down. We do not have problems or battles or mountains to look up to. We look down because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I want to share this with you. It's not even communion yet. While we were worshiping here this morning, God spoke with me. He said, tell my people, when I anoint you to do something, the enemy will come in opposition. In 2 Samuel 5, 2 Samuel 5 from verse 17. Now when the Philistines, this is in the Old Testament, the Philistines were in opposition to Israel, God's anointed nation. They were the enemy. Let me say, when your enemy heard that you have been anointed, you've been set apart by God, you've been anointed king. When they heard that they anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also, who's our stronghold? Go to Jesus. When we hear the enemy come, we go to Jesus. Forget about everything you know. When you hear the enemy come, we go to our stronghold. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now listen to this. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" Not every battle that comes your way you should fight. I've met so many Christians, all they do is just fight, fight, fight all the time. They just fight. Make sure the battle array that's against you is yours to fight. Don't just go out and start fighting the enemy. It might not be your enemy to fight. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hands." What an amazing power and testimony that before I go into this battle, God has said to me, "I will doubtless give that in me into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim, and this is where I'm getting to. And David defeated them there, and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And I just feel the weight of that word that God is saying, there are few people here today that you're looking for God to break through like war. And we need to call on the God of the breakthrough. Baal Perazim literally means Lord of the breakthrough. I don't know who it is. God has not told me. But I'm here to tell you that the God you and I serve is the God of the breakthrough. And when God has anointed you at your workplace or anywhere else in your family, with friends, to do something for Him, I can tell you now the enemy will come against you, but God will give you the breakthrough. God will give you the breakthrough. I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places and that you are our breakthrough in these tough situations, whether it is at work, whether it is in finances or with family members, maybe even with health. I thank you, God, that you are the God of breakthrough. You subdue our enemies before us. You cause confusion to reign in the camp of the enemy. You set ambushes against our enemies and you deliver us from their hands. We praise you for it, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Let your will be done, God. Thank you. You may be seated. Jonathan and Anae, can you please? I don't know who that was for, but I pray. Praise the Lord. All right, communion. I want to take you through just a few thoughts that God shared with me. And there's so much we can talk about in communion. And I want to contrast the Old Testament and the New Testament with each other in a few words. In Exodus 11, I'm not going to read it to you all, but in Exodus chapter 11, God announces the death of all firstborn in Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 12, God instructs Moses about the Passover. In verse 8, he talks about the bread. He says, you will eat this with bread. You'll eat the Passover with bread. But listen what he says in verse 12 and 13. Excuse me. In verse 12, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. Egypt, the world. And will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is also the first time that they're instructed to tell their children. And he says, tell your children about this. And this is what you should tell them. He says in verse Exodus 12, 26, 27, so kids, listen up. Listen to what happened on that night in Egypt. And it says, when your children say unto you, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this Passover? Why do we have to eat this lamb and put the blood on the doorposts? He says, tell him, it's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel. He passed over us, the destroyer, the destruction, death passed over our homes, and it destroyed the homes of the Egyptians. So the kids were asking Mom and Dad, why are we killing this lamb? And why are we eating the lamb like this? And why are we putting the blood on the doorposts? And he says, tell them. Tell the kids. Because on that night, I destroyed everybody who was not under the blood. Under the blood of the lamb. This is in the Old Testament. Then Jesus came. And Jesus said that I am that lamb. He said, I am the Lamb of God. I am the one sacrifice. I am the final sacrifice. You no longer have to kill these lambs every year. I'm going to be killed for you. And he says, Jesus actually speaks, and he says to them, while he was on earth, and they didn't understand it, when he talked to his disciples, he said, unless you eat my body, you have no part in me. Unless you drink my blood, you have no part in me. So Jesus was telling the disciples that I'm going to die and you need to eat my body and drink my blood. And they didn't understand it. But then on the night of Jesus' betrayal, just before he was crucified, he said to them, and I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians 11. He said, take and eat. He took the bread. So he took the bread and he handed it out and said, take and breathe, take and eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. He's instructing them again about the remembrance. Tell everybody why we're doing this. Tell your children why we're doing this. Because we remember that Jesus is the final sacrifice for us. We don't have to die. We're not part of the house of Israel. You and I are Gentiles. And the Gentiles were doomed. But Jesus came. And now we are saved because his grace have come over to us. Then he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant or the new promise in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we celebrate this, that piece of bread in your hand and the juice is the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And we remember that because Jesus died for us, you and I no longer have to die. All we have to do is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he died for us. Let's all stand. Father God, we thank you for your perfect plan of redemption. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ died for us, that his body was broken for us, and that we do it today in remembrance. Please eat. God, we thank you for this blood in the new covenant, the promise that you made with us, Lord, that we don't have to die, that death passes over us because of what Jesus has done for us. We thank you for this, and we drink it now in remembrance. Thank you, Lord. Amen.